Man, we serve a good God. I can't even begin to tell you how good of a God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank Pastor Bob and Pastor Peggy for giving me the opportunity to share the word with y'all. I just, nothing I love better than teaching the word. I mean, it is, well, let's pray. I'll get started and I'll forget to pray. Lord, we just come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. The name that is above every other name. We magnify and adore that name right now. I thank you, Lord, for giving every one of us ears to hear and hearts to understand as we search and study the only thing that we have that has the power to change our lives, which is your very word. And in doing so, we know you're glorified because we know that your Son, who is the Word, became flesh, that we may have a relationship with you. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the Word. Genesis 1, we'll be done with Revelation about now. Actually, you'd be very happy to know I'm only teaching 4 verses tonight. That's it. Only 4 verses. I've been redeemed from that. So praise God. But I want to start out by talking about we're gonna look at the first 4 verses of Psalm 109, and we're gonna look at them in a way that probably hardly anybody here has ever looked at them. We're gonna look at them in the actual Hebrew. And by tonight, I'm sorry, Psalm 119. Y'all are going to be able to read some of this. So that's going to be an exciting, that's going to be a neat thing. I don't know if there's words to express how important the word is in a believer's life. It is the number one thing. It is beyond I'll tell you something about people that are successful and effective in ministry. They have, you know, you've got the 7 habits of millionaires and highly effective people. Let me tell you the one habit of every single person I know that's very successful in ministry is they love the Word of God. It is more important than the air you breathe. It's more important than prayer. I've seen ministries where they basically their whole focus was just prayer, but they didn't have a focus on the Word. And in these end times especially, if you're not focused on the written Word of God, you will be led astray. Because, I mean, I don't care if you pray 10 hours a day, and you need to pray, okay? The other attribute of people that are successful in ministry is they pray a lot. But it doesn't supersede the written Word of God. See, we're created in God's image. And that is when God looks in the mirror, He sees something that looks like you and I. When God reached down to breathe breath into Adam, he was face to face with somebody that looked almost exactly like him, like father to son. And I mean, sometimes we get this idea that, you know, God's this big spirit being cloud. And the word says he has a voice, he has eyes, he has ears, he has fingers. When God looks in the mirror, he sees something that looks very much like you or I. And the next time you look in the mirror, I want you to realize that you were created in the image of God. I want you to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm created in the image of God. I am different than every other animal on this planet. Because I can speak. I can understand. I can read. I can make sounds with my mouth that have an actual meaning. And the power of that cannot even be comprehended. Because when we understand who we are, when we understand that we are out of God's family, that we literally came out of God, that the same life force that God breathed into Adam, that he lost when he sinned, when you become born again, that's back in you. And that I don't want to say that power is back in you, because it's not just a power thing, but that purpose is back in you. Which there's a side note for you. If you ever look at something and wonder if it's God or not, you know, if you're in some charismatic meeting, and God spoke to me something one time, and he says, "My power always has a purpose." If you see a display of something and there's no purpose for it, it might not be God. And I mean, some things, when they first start out, you know, God had a purpose for it here, but then people want to just imitate it over here, and there's no purpose, and, you know, there's grace. I'm not going to get off on that. Tonight we're going to study in Hebrew, not just because I like Hebrew, or I know a little Hebrew. I do know a little Hebrew. His name's Benjamin. But Hebrew is actually the language that God speaks. And the whole reason, now, not that God doesn't speak English, not that God doesn't speak Spanish, he understands every language, but when God originally talked with Adam in the garden, when God talked to Noah and told him to build an ark, he was actually speaking Hebrew. Because we know that because all the names in the Bible have meanings, and they're all Hebrew names, and every, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want you to get this, because it's part of a love for the Word. You know, if I'm going to read God's Word, I want it to be as close as possible to what he actually said, because I don't want man's opinion in there anywhere. Like, I'll tell you, I used to read the NIV. And you know, praise God for the NIV. I got saved reading the NIV. But you know what? There's scriptures in there. There's missing stuff in there. There's like 50,000 words they took out. Like, does anybody here have an NIV? Turn to Acts 8:37. And I mean, I memorized all kinds of scripture, and you know, it has power. It, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's evil, but what I'm talking about here is the love for the Word. Somebody who's got a King James, look up. You got an NIV? And who's got a King James? Leonard, look up Acts 8:37. If you got an NIV, it ain't there. It's in the footnotes, but I didn't have the footnotes. And when I found that out, I got mad. I was like, what's going on with this thing? So, that's kind of a side. What does Acts 8:37 say?
It says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is God."
Now, is that important? I think that's an important witnessing tool.
Absolutely.
But anyways, that's an aside. But I'm not talking about the NIV here or anything like that. What I'm talking about is a love for the Word. You know, we counsel a lot of people in our ministry. And we so many people are like, well, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to church and I want to do the church thing. But, you know, when it comes to reading the Word, it's like, well, you know, that's just an aside. And, you know, it's just, you know, I'll do it if I have time, or, you know, I'll put in my 10 minutes a day, and it, It is not. It is the number one thing. So one of the reasons that I love the Hebrew is because it personally forces me to really, really dig. Because I have to look up every single word. You know, and I have to dig in. What's the root of this word? Why does it mean? And in Hebrew, it's a lot easier because every single letter in Hebrew has a meaning. Okay? Like, for example, the word for, the actual word of God, the spoken word, is Devar. And it's a Dalet, and a Vet, and a Resh, or a Rosh. And each one of those has a picture. And it's literally a doorway into the heart of the king. So if you want to know what's going on in God's mind, you get there. The doorway to his heart, to our king, is through the word. Amen? It's Dalet, Vet, Rosh. Devar is how you say it. And you'll actually have it on your sheet. Really? Devar. How cool is that? It's a town of the word. That's very cool. The word of the king. That is very cool. Sounds like God might want to do something there. I think he is. If he's sending you guys there, I'm sure he is. But here's some just little tidbits I want to give you to think about. All other languages, at the Tower of Babel, all the languages were split apart. Well, all of the languages have components of Hebrew in them. Like, you can go in the Algonquin Indians, the word that they have for skunk in Hebrew means stink. Now, is that a coincidence? Okay. Here's another interesting one for you. Medical science shows us that the inner ear is your center of balance. And if you mess up with your inner ear, your balance is off. The Hebrew word for ear and the Hebrew word for balance are from the same root. Pretty cool. There's a ton. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, just ask me after service. I'll give you all the information. But that's what this is about. It's about my relationship with God is so important to me because he is the only reality that exists. I want to know what he has to say. Because if his word is life to all my flesh and health to my body, I want to know it. If I can hide his word in my heart and not sin against him, I want that word to be in my heart. If I can, you know, if he sent his word and healed me, you know, I don't want to be going, Channel 5 is better. You know, because Channel 5 ain't going to heal me. And if there's anything that I could impart to anybody, it would be a love for the Word of God, because it will get you. You know, Leonard can tell you, I'm sure, thousands of stories about people that just found the Word. Nobody preached to them, nobody explained it to them, and it changed their life. Because the Word has the power. Because it is. He said, "The gospel shall be preached to the end of the earth." What is the gospel? The gospel is the Word. Amen. So that's we're going to do some digging. We're going to do some digging. And David had this mindset. In fact, Psalm 119, it's called an acrostic, which means that each successive section, all of the first letter and all the sentences start with the same letter, and it goes in the order of the alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet, which, here's a little aside, the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet are Aleph and Bet. So, where do you think we get alphabet from? It's the Aleph Bet. Amen? But it goes in the successive order of those, and each one of those letters has a meaning, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and And there's it comes into a section of eight verses for each of the 22 letters. Tonight we're just going to go through the very first four. The first four verses. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pass some stuff out here really quick, because I want to give you a little bit of background. Thank you. It's one of those. Yeah, two different things. It's interesting. Y'all might want to learn Hebrew, seeing how that's probably what we're going to speak when we all get to heaven. Because in Zephaniah 3:9 it says, speaking about the end times, I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Everybody got a copy?
I'm late. All right.
Excuse me. Alrighty. I'm just going to take you through the alphabet. We're not going to spend a huge amount of time on this because I want to get into the meat. But I want to give you an idea of how to put some of this stuff together. And you don't have to learn how to speak Hebrew to study stuff like this. If you get a Strong's Concordance, it's that big, thick book. I mean, you can get them in almost any bookstore. Or there's actually Bob Jones University. Not an endorsement for Bob Jones. He just has a really good website. He's got something on his website called The Linked Word. And it's the entire Bible, and you can click on, you know, every single word is hyperlinked, and you can click on it, and it'll show you the actual, you know, Hebrew or Greek word over on the right-hand side. And I'll give you that website if you're interested. Okay, here is the Aleph Bet. The first symbol is the Aleph, and what it is in the old days, it was more of a hieroglyphic type writing, to where they would actually draw pictures of each thing in it, and then, you know, more modern, we have letters or characters or stuff like that. So if you were going to read, if you're going to read any sort of modern Hebrew book, like if you want this is... This is an interlinear Bible, to where it actually has the Hebrew and the English, and then in the New Testament it has the actual Greek, but that's all Greek to me. All right. One of the things, just even... Okay. All right. One of the interesting things is just from the letters of the alphabet, we can get all kinds of revelation, you know, just from root words and stuff like that. For example, do you know in the Bible it's a sin for women to make coffee? Well, thus, Hebrews. You know, it's in the Bible. So, scriptural thing. Okay, the Aleph, which is the ox head, stands for a strong, powerful leader. Very often, this is used in conjunction with God's name. The Bet, or Vet, we've talked about this a lot, actually, from some words. It's the picture of a tent, but it really stands for what's inside the tent. The Gimel is, literally, it means to gather, to walk, or to carry. It's where the English word camel is derived from. It's, you know, a something that carries. The dalet is it's a picture of a tent flap that goes across the entrance of the door. It's something you go through. The hay is a it's a picture of a man with his arms raised, and it means to look at me, or that my breath, or life, or it's interesting, the name Noche in the Bible literally means that life shall continue. I always thought it was kind of cool. It's a little picture of a guy with his eye. Help! You know? The Vav is a tent peg. And it is the word for faith is based on this letter. And it literally means a picture of faith in Hebrew is like I'm driven like a tent peg down into the ground. And you ain't moving me. That's what faith means. That means this is where it is and how it is. The Zion, which it's a tool to cut, to work with. The Chet is the picture of the tent wall. It stands for division. The Tet is a basket that means surrounding. The Yud, we've talked about this. It means worship, pointing out, working. It's a picture of a like an arm with the hand. The Kaf is an open palm. The Lamed, which we've talked about, is the shepherd's staff. Interesting, the tribe of Levi is literally, you know, God shepherding over the faith of the people. And they were to be the shepherds over the people's faith, because in Levi, it's not with a vet like a tent, it's with a vav like a tent peg driven down into the ground. The Mem stands for water. The Nun stands for it's a picture of a seed, and it means continuation, an heir, a son. Probably when we talk about Ben, okay, we've got the picture of the family, and we've got a continuation. Well, Ben in Hebrew is a word for son, so it's the continuation of the family. Does all start to make sense? The Samach is a thorn. The Ayin is a picture of an eye. The Pei is a picture of a mouth. And an interesting thing about Hebrew is it is a very concrete language. There are not a lot of it's not a lot of real conceptual thought. Everything is very concrete. The Sadi is a man on his side, as if he's almost hunting or stalking something. The Kuf is the sun at the horizon. The Resh is the beginning, the top, the leader. We have Rosh Hashan, which is the head of the year. Rosh Hodesh, which is the beginning of the month. You guys have probably heard some terms like that. The Shin is a picture of your two front teeth, and it's a sharp, pressing, consuming. And the Tav is a cross sticks. And it's a mark, sign, name. And I mean that in and of itself. I could go into it, but you could take the whole thing tells a story. You know, you've got Noah in there, you've got Levi in there, and it all ends with the cross. And it's pretty cool. But alright, Psalm 119. Go ahead and look at your other sheet. And we are going to start with verse 1. And what we're going to do is we're just going to pick this apart word by word and see what we can dig out of it. And it's... You don't have to know Hebrew to do this. I mean, you can do this with your Bible and a good dictionary. Okay? The key here is... You got to want to know it. God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. And when he talks about his wisdom, he says, you got to seek after it as silver. You got to seek after it as gold. The reason that most people don't understand the Bible when they read it is because they're not reading it like they need to get something out of it. Okay? We talked last Sunday about the Shema. And here, you guys are familiar with the prayer, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Shema, Israel. Well, the word for hear there, Shema, also means to obey. If you want to hear from God, if you say, God, I want to hear from you. The only way you're going to hear from him is in an attitude of, I'm going to do whatever you say. You know, I'm not going to go, oh God, what should I do with my life? Don't really like that plan. Maybe I'll figure something else out. You know, it is, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Then God will speak to you. Because otherwise, he's, you know, just wasting his breath. So, praise God. Psalm 119, verse 1. Ashari tamim derech hachalach vata vatorach Yahweh. The first word, ashari, is from the word asher, which is to bless. Blessed. It is a good word. If you are happy, elated, excited, life is going good, you are ashari. You are blessed. So, I mean, that very first word, I'm excited already. Because I know whatever's in the rest of the verse is probably going to tell me how to get there. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I've been in places where I was low ashari. And low in Hebrew means not. It's where we get our word no from. So, the next word is, it's a two-part word. The first word, tamim, means complete, whole, entire, sound. And then the second part of that word is the word derech, which means the way. Now, Pastor Bob has been teaching on the way. There's a wide way, and there's a narrow way. And this is God's way. So, already I know, just from the first three words, blessed are they that are completely, wholly, sincerely, soundly in the way. Blessed are they that are completely, wholly, soundly in the way. This is not, you know, I try to do this, you know, I try to serve God when I can. You know, I have my good days, I have my bad days. You know, or, you know, I'll try the, one of the sayings that just completely befuddled me when I heard it was the God thing. You know, well, I'm trying the God thing. You know, I'm trying to do the God thing. I'm trying the God thing out for a while. There is no God thing. There is only God. And if we serve Him completely and walk in His way, His derech, that's when we're blessed. Whole, happy, complete, sound. The next word is halach. And the center of the word is halach. If you look at the middle three letters. Oh, here's something I probably should have told you. Hebrew reads from right to left. So sorry. Well, let me point to the words. I just said completely. And it's not that Hebrew reads backwards. I wouldn't say that because we're probably the ones that read backwards. So this is asher. Okay, we've got an aleph, a shin, which is a shah, and a resh, which is an r. And once you start to look, I mean, you can see there's an r there. You know, a resh looks like an r. That's where we get it. You can kind of even see an a there. So asha. And then when you get the little yud on the end of a word, it means it pertains to yourself. So ashari, tamim, so you got a T, tav, an M, a yud, an m, tamim, so blessed are those that are completely in the way, derech. And then if you look at the next word, the middle three letters is a chet, a lamed, and a kaf. And it is halak. And what it literally means is your walk, your life. It encompasses everything from the time you're born till the time you die. I mean, the same word is used for to live and to die, to move, your manner of life. You know, it is halak. And I mean, it kind of sounds like walk. You know, if Patsy Cline was here, she'd be halakin' after midnight. Okay? The word... Somebody got that. And then when you see an M or a mem on the end, it is like a plural. It's the way to make something plural, but it's also the way to make something bigger or continual. So this is not just I did it once. This is I'm going to walk this way continually. Okay? I'm going to walk it and walk it and walk it and walk it. And if I get off the path a little bit, I'm going to get back on the path. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to walk it. And I'm going to walk it. Now, what way are we in? How do we know what we are? The next word is batorach. How many have ever heard of the Torah? Okay, this is the Bible. It is the Old Testament. It is what David had, or it's the first five books of the Bible. And it's the only Bible that David had when he was writing these scriptures. And so when he is talking about the law, and I mean, if you read Psalm 119, there are 10 different words he uses for your statutes, your ways, your laws, your commands. And we're not going to go into all those tonight, but I want you to get a hold of this, because people get so hung up on this. And that's, you know, well, do I have to follow the law? I thought Jesus redeemed me from the law. Okay, you know, do we have to, like, observe the Sabbath? And, you know, I can't, you know, go to a restaurant on Saturday and stuff. No. God set down certain precepts for living that existed before the law, that were a part of the law, that were confirmed by Jesus. Okay? This is not a legalistic, you know, I have to do this, this, and this, and this, and, you know, if I do these things, I'll be on the good list. You know, and if I do these things, I'll be on the bad list. It's not that. It's not, I'm going to look at what I do, you know, because I'm trying to please God. It is, I love God so much. Okay? I'll guarantee you, Keith loves his wife so much that he wants to do what makes her happy. I hope. Right? Would you say he's spent a significant amount of time making you happy? Okay? I guarantee you, I love my wife. I spend a lot of time and a lot of effort making her happy. Why? So I can be in the happy club? No, because I love her. Our love for God means we're not doing this because it's a legalistic thing, or because it's right, or because it's wrong. We're doing this because we love Him, and we want to do what He wants us to do. And if you get that in mind, all that stuff about the weird stuff about the law will not be a problem to you. And whose Torah is it? Whose law is it? The last word on that page we've talked about before, it is Yahweh. And it is the proper name of the one true God. And that is how it's said. It's people get the idea that the word was Jehovah. And what that is the Jews will not say the word Yahweh. They will either say Hashem, which just means the name, or they'll say Adonai. So when they were writing down, when the Masoretes were writing down the Old Testament, they put vowel pointings on it. There's other little marks that could go on this writing that shows you what the vowels are. And they put the vowel pointings on it for Adonai. So a Jewish reader would look at that and know that they should say Adonai and not Yahweh. But we talked about that the last time I preached, and I cannot believe that if we're supposed to call on his name, think on his name, you know, praise his name, that we should never say his name. Hallelujah. What time do we usually end? Do we usually end at 8? Okay. Well, that's one verse. Let me just point out a couple pretty cool words in some of the other verses, because we don't have time to go through it all, but if anybody wants a copy of my notes on the first 8 verses, you're more than welcome to come up and get them. In verse 2, you see the word with the dash in it? It is Bahol, and Chol means whole, entire, and Lev means heart, like we talked about before. Over and over and over again in Psalm 119, David is going to talk about his whole heart, about his whole mind, about his, with everything that is within him. And if I can say, if you really want to know God, I'll say it again and again and again and again. It's got to be your whole heart. It's got to be everything that is within you. It's not a hobby. It's not a, it is a life of service. And you know what? You'll never be happy until you're there. Really. The most miserable thing on the face of this earth is a Christian that isn't doing what God's called him to do. And you'll never know what God's called you to do until you give him your whole life. So, hallelujah. In verse 4, we've got the word for commandment. And it's the word, it is the second word from the left. And it kind of looks like a Y in the beginning, but that's actually a Sava, it's actually a Sadi, which has a, it's like a TS, it's like a Tsa. And this is Tsava. Tsava. And what this is the word for a commandment, but it's a military term. Because Tsavat is a commandment, Tsava is an army. And this is literally a commander, because we know who Yahweh is. He's very commonly referred to as Yahweh Tsafaot, which is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. And this is a army commander giving instructions to his army. Okay? It's not, do these, how many have ever been in the army? Okay? It wasn't, do this if you feel like it, right? You know, when you were in, amen. So that is, but it's a plan for victory. You know, if you're out there and you're fighting a battle and you're struggling, you know, you got a commander to go to, and you could say, I need to know what to do in this situation. How do I get the victory in this situation? How do I get these bills paid? How do I get this sickness healed? How do I get my family straightened out? How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? You've got a commander that will give you an order, and it's an order that'll never be wrong. Amen? In verse 5, we've got the word shamar. This is very close to the word shama, and it is literally to keep, to obey, to preserve. This is the, it starts with the lamed, which is, a lot of times when you see the lamed on the beginning of a word, it's a way of saying for, or, you know, this pertains to this word. But the actual word is the Shin, the Mem, and the Resh. And it is the 1, 2, 3, fourth word from the right. Lachshamar. Achale cho'on derech lachshamar cho'che. And it not only means to keep, as in obey, but it means to preserve, to teach, to meditate on, to, you know, some of us have family heirlooms that have been in the family, and, you know, they're important. We'll take them out at, you know, we'll take them out at family gatherings. We'll tell the story that happened with them. You know, I almost thought you were going to tell the rat killing story with the sword on Sunday. I know you didn't have time. But you know, they've got a story, and it's something that's important, this family, that needs to be preserved. His commandments, his laws, his ways, his precepts should be that important to us, that we want to preserve them, that we want to tell them over and over and over again, that we want to meditate on them, that we want to think about them, that we want to pass them on to our children. That's the picture of that. Oh, that was verse 5. I went too far. I said we were only going to do verses 4. Amen. So I'm going to stop for tonight. And like I said, I hope I got across what my heart in this. And, you know, if you're interested in Hebrew-type stuff, I'd be more than happy to point you to resources. It's one of my favorite subjects. But you don't need to learn to speak Hebrew. I think you should, because we're all going to...